I may or may not have bought Draft Day last night for $5 on Amazon.
It's been a long day.
Hayden Hurst. No T. Hayden Hurst, because he's so old, he's about to die.
The height thresholds are no more in Green Bay, and it just gives me hope for Anthony Miller, so...
What's up, draft nerds? Thanks for joining us today. My name is Kent Swanson. I'm one of the writers at Arrowhead Pride. This is the AP Chiefs Draft Show, giving you an immediate reaction to round one of the NFL draft. And it couldn't have gone much better for the Chiefs. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host on this show. You can find him on Twitter at Jacob Morley. Jake, long time no see, man.
Had
to fly solo last week, but earlier this week, but glad to have you back, dude.
Good to be back.
How did you feel when the Chiefs or when the Packers traded out of the 14th pick in the draft?
When I saw that they got a first rounder next year, I thought they kind of fleeced the Saints. I mean, that's good value. I kind of probably, if it was me, I probably would have stayed there and took Derwin James. But I'm really happy with what they were able to do, and landing with Jaire Alexander is a nice little consolation prize, and he might have been the top on their board anyways.
I was really hoping that they were going to trade out again from 27, just so you had to suffer the pain that Chiefs fans are having to feel this year with this whole thing. But oh well.
I did that last year. I waited all day and then ended up not. It's better going into it knowing that you don't have a pick, honestly, just because you don't really think anything of it. Like, if they trade up into the first, cool. If not, then they don't, and it's whatever. So it's kind of nice when you know that they don't have a pick in the first. You can mentally prepare yourself.
I think this is three straight years where one of our teams hasn't had a first round pick. Like, both of us have not picked in the first round for three seasons now.
This is two out of three for the Chiefs, right?
Because the year that they took Chris Jones, they traded out, and we sat there all night and watched them trade out.
Yep.
And then last year with you guys trading out, and then now this. The Chiefs did not trade into the first round of the draft, and they didn't need to. The value in this draft is still there. I'm very surprised at some of the players that are still left on the board. Let's really quick go through a recap of what happened in the first round, get some quick hitter takes on what happened. How about the Browns selecting Baker Mayfield with the first pick in the draft, Jake?
I don't know, man. Like, my brain feels like mush right now a little bit, and it started with that pick, because leading up to it today, you didn't really hear anything about Baker until today.
Right.
And then that ended up being the pick, and I still, even though I heard it all day, I just didn't really quite believe it.
I didn't believe it either.
And when it finally happened, they did it.
I can't, and then I think just as equally, like, I can't wait to see how much the Giants turned down to select Saquon Barkley, a running back, a very good running back, but a running back with the number two position when everybody's scrambling to try to get a quarterback. I can't wait to see what they turn down for that pick.
Yeah, I just don't agree with taking a running back that high, especially you're going to have to pay him a top running back, and he probably will be, but still.
He's one of the top 10 running back contracts in football now.
Such a devalued position, so he better be special.
It's incredible. It was a great start. Like, the chaos, you know, the crazy runs and trades up really didn't happen that much, but just Saquon Barkley,
but the people that stayed put at the top end, like, they didn't draft guys that really... Saquon was probably the only person that you really were expecting. Like, even Denzel Ward going four was... I didn't really think that was going to happen. It wasn't really on my mind.
Did you see that the Browns had been talking about Denzel or about Bradley Chubb and, like, were deciding on leaning Bradley Chubb, like, the whole time, and then, like, this afternoon they decided they wanted to go with Ward?
I think that's dumb. Stick to your guns. What was the movie?
Vontae Mack.
It should have said Bradley Chubb no matter what.
I may or may not have bought Draft Day last night for $5 on Amazon. Because I just felt compelled to watch it. I'm probably going to watch it every year.
I'm pretty sure it aired last night, like, on basic cable.
I tried to find it, but it was, like, not on demand on TBS. Mm. So I just had it. I went and bought it. $5. I'm probably going to watch it every year, even though it's not a very good movie and Jennifer Garner ruins it. But it's okay. I don't know. It was fun. But here's what's so frustrating to me, and we need to probably just touch on what the AFC West teams did. And we'll just start with the Broncos. picking Bradley Chubb at 5, I'm super mad that John Elway made a good football decision.
That's a slam dunk pick.
It is. And it's just, it's maddening because, like, I talked about the other day about, like, the worst case scenarios for the Chiefs, and Bradley Chubb going there was one of them. Like, that's just, that is not something I'm super excited that happened there.
Yeah, there are things to root for as an AFC West fan, and a couple of them did not happen. Like, quite the opposite, actually. I mean, the Raiders.
One of them did. We'll get there.
They held up their end of the bargain.
We'll get there in a second. Is there any other takes that you have between the Broncos making a pick at 5 and the Chargers making a pick at, or the Raiders making a pick at 15? Was there anything that surprised you in that range?
I feel like that's when things kind of settled down. Vita going 12 to the Bucks was interesting to me. Not maybe surprising, but interesting.
Vita Vey, the defensive tackle from Washington.
Marcus Davenport, the edge rusher from University of Texas San Antonio. Crazy that, and that's who, I guess that's who traded up with the Packers, and they gave up quite a bit to move up. You're thinking they're moving up for a quarterback. They move up for an underdeveloped edge rusher whose best pass rushing reps were against, you know, lower tier running backs.
It was a very shocking move that they gave up so much for him. And then at 15, the UCLA or the Oakland Raiders select UCLA offensive tackle Colton Miller. I thought it was a reach. I didn't think it was like an insane reach, but just the fact that they reached in general was really, really funny. I'm actually higher on him than most people are after the positional value filters. He wound up the 24th on my board, but he has a second round grade. But it was definitely a reach, and I was thrilled to see that
you knew someone was going to take him in that range. Right. It's just nice that it was a divisional opponent.
Colton Miller's a boomer bust tackle prospect.
That's going to have to block Bradley Chubb.
Yeah, he's got to be, and Justin Houston.
He better figure it out quick. He's got the athleticism to do it, but
it's still funny.
Yeah,
and it's perfect for the Chiefs. That's the kind of player you want, is a guy that Tom Cable thinks he can turn around. The offensive lineman coach from the Raiders, he thinks he can turn him around. He was standing on the table for this guy, apparently. Good luck with that, Tom. Anything else before?
Like, looking back at 13, I thought the Redskins panicked a little bit and took Daron Payne. I think they really wanted a D tackle, and when Vita Vea was off the board, they just kind of went with the next one. I think according to our boards, he was probably in that range, but I just feel like those two guys going back to back wasn't really something that I expected. I didn't really expect Payne to go top 15.
Someone said, like, Vita Vea to the Washington Redskins, defensive tackle Vita Vea to the Washington Redskins was like the least worst kept secret in the draft community. Well, it didn't happen. Someone jumped in front of them. Yeah. To take him. Derwin James, this going to the Chargers, safety from Florida State, that is something that's pretty frustrating and upsetting for me, just because that's a terrifying addition to that defense, Jake.
Yeah, he was one of my guys that I would have been really excited to get, so I'm bummed that he went one pick before the Packers. He's just a guy that he's going to be able to line up wherever. Him and Casey Hayward in the back end is going to be kind of scary. He's gonna probably do some damage up around the line of scrimmage for that team. Think Eric Weddle, except potentially better. I mean, right. So he's a kind of do-it-all guy. I'm surprised he lasted till 17. There were, you know, the stuff about him and Minka before the draft, I think it's interesting to look back at it now that they have their landing spots. I think a lot of people the last month or so were kind of starting to get a little bit higher on James, but I think when everything kind of reset, people kind of went back with the Minka being probably a little bit safer pick with the higher floor. I think James probably has a higher ceiling, though, still. So
yeah.
That's a good pick at 17. That might be one of my favorite picks of the draft, actually.
For sure. I would give Bradley Chubb and Derwin James an A grade, and I'd probably give the Colton Miller move a C-. So the first, you know, two pieces of good news, two pieces of bad news, or two pieces of bad news, one piece of good news, in the first 17 picks of the draft. But after that, everything about came up Chiefs as far as getting a position of need falling to them or putting it in a range where the Chiefs can comfortably trade up, because picks from 18 to 32, there really wasn't a ton of bad moves for them, except for you taking the first member of the draft miss list, the Green Bay Packers taking Jair Alexander, the corner from Louisville, off of the draft miss list and into Green Bay. So I hate you for that. Other than that, though, you look at what happened: an inside linebacker going to the Cowboys, two center prospects in Frank Ragnow and Billy Price going off the board at 20 and 21. And I know those guys were both on the draft miss list, but you're going to sacrifice draft like interior offensive linemen at that range, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think from like 19 to 32, it was like all bets are off. Like, nobody really took people where we thought they would go. Lamar Jackson with the Ravens, that's a fit that I thought could happen at 32 was interesting. But pretty much everyone else, like the Terrell Edmonds going round one was interesting. Rashad Penny going round one, really interesting.
Right. Rashad Penny, the running back from San Diego State.
And Terrell Edmonds, the safety from Virginia Tech, Tremaine Edmonds' brother, which is kind of cool that they had brothers go in the first round, but that's surprising, especially with guys like Justin Reed from Stanford and Jesse Bates from Wake Forest still on the board. Really surprised to see Edmonds go in front of those two guys.
Chiefs fans, if you are wanting to root for a position that's been heavily on the draft miss list going this early, it's offensive line. And we talked about Frank Ragnow, the center, Billy Price, the center, and Isaiah Wynn, the guard tackle. Those three going, it hurts a little bit. You would have liked the value to fall there, but it's still it's probably beneficial to the Chiefs. And we'll talk about some of the players that are available. But DJ Moore and Calvin Ridley, the wide receivers, going off the board too. That was helpful. The only picks that I'm a little frustrated, Jake, that came off the board in round one were Mike Hughes, but cornerback from UCF, but I'm not entirely sure, based on some of the stuff I've heard, that he was really in consideration for the Chiefs anyway.
That's, and yeah, we kind of both heard that. I'm surprised. I kind of was pretty sure he wasn't going to go in the first two rounds, so I was kind of surprised to see him go round one.
Right.
Talent-wise, sure, he probably went a little low, but just with the type of stuff that has been coming out with, he might get charged with assault. It's like he's talking to teams about, he wouldn't be surprised if there's allegations that were, you know, that would come up after the draft.
After he's selected.
So,
which could have been Buzz trying to drop him, who knows, but.
But he's the one that said that, so I don't know.
Oh, was he the one that said
that?
Oh, wow.
He was telling teams that at the combine. That's why I thought teams would drop. Maybe the Vikings have better information than everyone else in the league, though. But I don't know.
The other one I was a little the one I was really probably the most upset that went off the board in the
Hayden
back
Hurst,
half.
25, tight end one.
25, is that where he was drafted, or is that his age?
Both.
Is it? Is he? I thought he was 26. Maybe. Oh,
I don't know.
Did a 25-year-old go at 25?
I think he did. Yeah.
Perfect. How fitting.
Papa Hurst.
Surprised the Raiders didn't take him.
Oh, Hurst.
What?
Isn't that the vehicle that you drive around in for a funeral?
Hurst. With an E, I think. I don't think. But what can I call
him? It's been a long day.
Hayden Hurst. No T. Hayden Hurst, because he's so old, he's about to die.
Yep.
That was perfect. That was actually really good for the Chiefs. The one I was most upset with, though, was at 29, defensive tackle Taven Bryan going to the Jaguars. One thing that, if there was a Periscope up this yesterday or today. Boy, it really has been a long day.
Yeah.
Today, Eric Galco made a prediction that the Chiefs were going to trade up into the early second round to draft Taven Bryan. One of the best first steps in this entire class, extremely disruptive, you can get upfield, kind of raw, a lot of work to do, but man, he would have been a really fun piece to add to this defensive line, Jake.
Well, yeah, you're right. I think so. He was one of those guys that would have been kind of fun because he's got that upside, he's got that round one type potential, which he ended up going round one, but he's also a guy that I think his range is probably like 25 to 50. You know, you just didn't really know, but he ended up going on the high end of that. There's still guys out there, penetrators like him. that I think you might want to keep an eye on for day two, depending on whether or not the Chiefs stay put. I don't know if you want to start talking about guys that are available still. There's quite a bit. I still have a top 10 player on my board available right now.
Who is?
That's, for me, it's Harold Landry. I'm surprised that he's available. I have a first-round grade on him. He's my 9th overall player. There's been some stuff coming out, though, I guess. I didn't hear anything about his medical the entire process, but I just retweeted something from Tom Pasalic. I can't say his last name.
Polisario?
Yeah, that guy.
How did I pull that out?
I don't know. That's good. I don't know if you said it right. Probably did. But anyway, so he was talking about he's got some teams red flagged him for his knee and his back. So that's not good. And that's, you know, that's, we've talked about that on the show too. Like, there's stuff like this about guys that when they start dropping, then you start to hear that stuff.
Harold Landry, funny you should bring him up. I don't know anything about his medicals, but we're going to go ahead and make an emergency addition to the draft miss list right now, and that is Harold Landry, edge prospect from Boston College. He is probably one of the, like, I think, I thought he had some of the best tape of the edge rushers.
Tale of 2 years, though.
Yeah, but, you know, the 2017 tape of his was top 10 draft pick kind of material. He shows
2016. Yeah, so 2016, his 2017 wasn't as great,
right? It was a rough year for him, but yeah. 2016 tape showed a great ability to get off, great ability to bend, tested great at the combine, and man, if the Chiefs do wind up taking a risk on him, if there is some injury concerns by trading up into the early 30s for him, I'm not going to have any issues whatsoever, Jake.
Yeah, I don't think he probably lasts past like 36, honestly. I think teams are going to maybe reassess, gather some information on him, probably talk to their doctors, probably call around, and he might be a guy that teams are more comfortable with taking now that it's day two.
You know what would be kind of interesting if he doesn't? I wouldn't be surprised if Cleveland took a risk on him. If they don't go with Bradley Chubb.
Gosh.
Could you imagine? If they took their risk. They took the risk on Denzel Ward and going with him fourth in the draft instead of Bradley Chubb, and then they just turn around at 33 and go draft Harold Landry.
Probably the second best pass rusher in this class.
Right. Because, you know, say what you want about Marcus Davenport. He's got a lot of upside, but he's not a natural pass rusher yet. He's still developing. Bradley Chubb's probably the best, is definitely hands down the best pass rusher in this class. And Harold Landry, man, I would love to add him to the Chiefs. If they trade up for him, I'm going to be absolutely thrilled. He's going on the draft miss list. And there's another guy we're going to add to the draft miss list right now, Jake. And Cummins, just looking at it right now, this guy would make all the sense in the world for the Kansas City Chiefs. Do you know who I'm going with right now?
A guy that's not on it already?
That's not on it already. You may not guess it. Okay.
I don't think I know. Well, let me get one guess. Okay. Dang it. I don't know. I have no idea. I'm looking at like 20 names right now.
How about an offensive lineman that could potentially play
Connor
tackle
Williams?
Or guard?
Connor Williams?
Connor Williams.
I didn't think you're that high on him.
I still have him as the 26th player on my board, and he's going on the draft miss list right now.
Yeah, he's the second highest guy on my board left. I have him 13th overall. I love Connor Williams.
I have him 26th. And, you know, I think at this point in the draft, he's immense value. And he makes a lot of sense for a team that has a need at left guard and might have a need at tackle here in the future. How about a guy that can play multiple spots on the offensive line?
And he probably can play all five positions,
honestly, if you
pressed him into it.
I wouldn't be upset with Connor Williams being a Kansas City Chief here. He's really athletic.
He's another guy, though, too. Like, tale of 2 years. 2016 was way better than 2017. Got hurt last year. Tape wasn't as good.
That's true.
His 2016 tape, though, I thought was really good.
These last year performances, they're scaring some people away. I don't know what that's going to say for Arden Key then either.
Yeah.
If players that had great 2016 tape that had some struggles in 2017 with injury aren't going well.
He also quit and then came back.
That's a good point.
So
that's a good point. But we're adding Connor Williams, offensive tackle from Texas, and Harold Landry, an edge prospect from Boston College, on to the draft miss list.
What about a guy, and we talked about him a little bit, what about a guy like Josh Jackson from Iowa, a guy that was pretty routinely mocked anywhere from 15 to 30, falling out of the first round?
Josh Jackson, the cornerback from Iowa. No, probably not. And here's why. A lot of the best tape of him is him being allowed to use his instincts and his ball skills for being an off-ball corner. And the Chiefs, if they really do intend to play a press-heavy scheme, he doesn't make a ton of sense for them right now.
He's got the size for it, but he wasn't asked to do it. Yeah, he's definitely better seeing the ball in front of him.
And some people have talked about him potentially transitioning to safety, mm-hmm. which would be an interesting move. And how about let's just do this real quick too. I'm gonna go rogue one more time, and I'm gonna add one more player to the draft miss list that did not hear his name called this week. Or today, actually. How about let's go with an offensive guard from UTEP, Will Hernandez.
Oh, I thought you were going to go with Ito Smith.
No, not Ito no. Smith. But it, didn't you? Didn't
yeah.
You tell
well,
me?
I figured if like Rashad Penny can go in the first round, like Ito Smith, like should have his phone, make sure it's charged, ready to go. He should hear his name being called at any time.
So, just so you guys know, Ito Smith was not invited to the NFL Combine. He's a running back from Southern Mississippi, and Jake had a higher grade on him than
not by
Rashad
much. Not
Penny.
By much, but like him and Rashad
matter.
Penny were in the same like third or fourth range for me, and then Penny went, oh gosh.
It doesn't matter.
And Penny's a fine player. Like, I don't really have a problem with Rashad Penny, but Sony Michel and Darius Geis were still on the board.
I just
Penny.
I don't like Rashad Penny that much. He's just a guy. It does look like the Maurice Hurst talk is real. The fifth player on my board is not drafted right now, and I'm not ready to add him to the draft miss list quite yet, just because I don't know what's going on with his heart condition, and I don't know if he.
I think he comes off the board quick.
I would think so. You would think so.
I don't buy the day three stuff. I think he slid because of that, but I think he comes off in the first round tomorrow.
What if Cleveland goes Harold Landry and Maurice Hurst to go with Denzel Ward and Baker Mayfield? Mm. Could you imagine?
I don't want to.
That's an incredible haul.
Yeah.
No one would have thought that if you told them that 2 months ago that they would end up with those four players. I don't think anybody would have believed you. There's still a lot of guys that were already on the draft miss list that are still available. The highest on my board is Isaiah Oliver, a cornerback from Colorado. He's actually a guy I've made some predictions that the Chiefs might trade up into the early 30s for. Length, athleticism, ball skills, and his best football is still ahead of him. Jake, what do you think about that fit for the Chiefs?
I think that's probably looking at defensive backs in general, that's probably the best fit for the Chiefs right now. I'm kind of surprised he didn't go in the first round, because he seemed like everybody's darling to get picked at the beginning of the second round. Like, every team was talking about, well, we won't take a corner high because we can just get Isaiah Oliver in the second. So guys like that, you usually hear that, and then they end up going in the first because everyone's hearing that, so that you go and get your guy. So I'm a little bit surprised to see him available still, and he's probably another guy that will come off the board really quick, because if he's your guy that you want to get in the second round, it's the second round. Go get him.
Yep. And so he's a guy I've definitely have my eye on. I wouldn't be upset with the Chiefs trading up for a guy like Isaiah Oliver, a guy like Harold Landry, Connor Williams, or Will Hernandez, any of those four players that we've talked about already. That's probably my short list of if the Chiefs are trading up for a player. That's who I'm targeting. The fifth player that on that list that I'm probably looking for the Chiefs to trade up for would be Justin Reed, the safety from Stanford. Jake, do you think there's anybody that you, for the Chiefs specifically, that you think you would look to trade up for besides those five?
I would keep an eye on Jesse Bates, too. I think he'll probably go in the top half of the second round. He might be a guy, especially if Terrell Edmonds is going in the first round. Over him, maybe the NFL's not as high on him as we originally thought, or maybe not. I don't know, but he may be a guy that falls to the Chiefs if they stay put. But he'd be the other guy like in that range where I would say I wouldn't have a problem at all with the Chiefs trading up and hearing his name called.
I think the five that I mentioned are guys that I'd be willing to trade a third round pick for. Anything beyond that, I'm probably looking to make a smaller move up. So Jesse Bates,
if he's sliding,
is probably a guy that I'd try to trade into somewhere in the 40s for, not necessarily the early 30s. Those five I mentioned being Justin Reed, a safety from Stanford, Isaiah Oliver, corner from Colorado, Harold Landry, edge from Boston College, Connor Williams, offensive tackle from Texas, Will Hernandez, offensive guard from UTEP. Those are guys I don't think I would hate the Chiefs trading up into the late 30s potentially for and giving up probably like a third round pick. So those are the five I'm targeting for a big trade up. Anything beyond that, I think I just want value to fall. There's still a lot of guys on the board, Jake. We've got, you know, Dallas Goedert's on the board still, a tight end from South Dakota State. Braden Smith, offensive guard from Auburn. Lorenzo Carter, an edge prospect from Georgia. Ronnie Harrison, a safety from Alabama. Like, there's still plenty of value here on the board.
Still out there.
Anthony Miller. Talk to me in round three, Jake. I'm with you there on round three. Mike Gesicki, tight end from Penn State, still there too. There's so much value still sitting out there on the board. It really couldn't have gone any better for the Chiefs.
No, it's with Taven Bryan being gone, that really, like you already mentioned that, but that really is the only guy that you probably would look at and be like, oh, dang.
That would have been a good value.
Honestly, like maybe Terrell Edmonds too is like the other guy you look at that, but not in the same light, because you're probably more so looking at that like, oh, shoot, he's not going to be available late round
in
two
the third,
now.
Right.
Yeah.
But you sacrifice that. Like, you sacrifice some of these guys that we've added to the draft miss list in order to get someone of value, maybe at 54, maybe you don't even have to move up. There's a lot of great options available to the Chiefs. There are some players that Chiefs fans should pay attention to and hope to hear their name called early in the second round. I'd say Josh Jackson's a guy you probably want to hear his name called pretty early. Same with Darius Geis and Christian Kirk.
Did you already say Josh Jackson? You did, right?
I did say Josh Jackson. Yeah. Sam Hubbard, the edge from Ohio State, edge prospect from Ohio State, is probably a guy you want off the board, too. Basically, you know, it's just continuation.
Courtland Sutton.
Wide receiver
guy
from SMU.
Mason Rudolph still out there. I bet he goes. He's the next quarterback.
There's a lot of guys on this board still that I think very well could be early picks and could help continue to push value down the board for the Chiefs. So we're not really home yet as far as being able to get value here, but if the Chiefs, it's a much easier situation for the Chiefs to trade into the early third at this point, Jake.
Yeah.
Looking forward to the rest of the day. You know, we've lost a few players on the draft miss list at this point. That would be Jair Alexander, cornerback from Louisville.
Go Pack.
DJ Moore, wide receiver from Maryland. Isaiah Wynn, an offensive guard from Georgia, who actually got his name announced as a tackle from the Patriots.
Yeah,
that was a little bit surprising. Cornerback Mike Hughes from Central Florida, who, again, I'm not as concerned about. If you've noticed, I haven't talked as much about Mike Hughes lately because I've not been super confident that the Chiefs were actually going to be selecting him based on some of the issues that's been popping up with him. And then Frank Ragnow, a center from Arkansas, is off the board. He was on the draft miss list. Same with Billy Price, offensive guard from Ohio State. And the last member of the draft miss list that got selected was Terrell Edmonds, a safety from Virginia Tech, who wound up 66th on my board. So there's really not a ton of big hits for the Chiefs staring at pick 54. You have to expect, you know, like most of these guys that we've profiled are going to wind up going to different teams, but the Chiefs have a lot on the board still, a lot on the ledger that would really benefit them here coming up with their first pick in the draft. Jake, who were the lowest prospects that you had? What were the lowest grades that you had that went in the first round?
Penny was my lowest grade that I had going in the first round. And then after that, it was Edmonds and then followed by Josh Allen.
So I had Rashad Penny as a fourth round grade and a pretty low fourth round grade. Didn't even make my top 100 prospects. I had Terrell Edmonds with a third round grade. Yeah.
We were pretty much spot on with Edmonds. I think we almost had
we were really close
on
him, weren't we?
And then Josh Allen, too. We both had third round grades on. But
right.
He's a quarterback that can throw the ball a mile, so...
Yeah,
whatever.
And, you know, we talked about, you know, we're losing some draft miss list guys. Billy Price was the 50th ranked player on my board, and Frank Ragnow, the center, was the 46th ranked player on my board. I would have been happy with either of them at 54, but the fact that they're getting taken right now, getting taken up early in this draft, is still beneficial. You know, the Chiefs, even you sacrifice guys like that to give yourself a chance in potentially the early 30s in the trade up or the 40s.
Yeah.
I mean,
they're in a good position right now. They really are. I mean, they can stay put, and I think they'll have value that's there at the end of round two. But I also, I mean, Veach keeps telling us how aggressive he wants to be. So don't be surprised at all if you're just getting settled into the draft tomorrow and you see that trade button happen and you see that red and yellow show up on your screen.
I'm going to predict that the Chiefs wind up making a selection in the 30s.
Who picks next, the Packers or the Chiefs? Ooh. Packers have the 45th pick. They have to trade up in front of that.
I'll take the Chiefs.
Okay,
we'll take the Chiefs there. I think it just makes too much sense for them. There's still a lot of good players on the board right now. I anticipate, you know, something along the lines of pick 54 and 86 to move into the 30s somewhere to get a guy. And I'll go ahead, Jake. I'll tell you what. I'll let you start. We're probably gonna pick the same guy, I would guess. But you make the prediction on who you think the Chiefs will take and where they take them.
So I think the guy they're gonna target, who I would target, is Isaiah Oliver.
Okay.
And I think they're gonna move up with the, you know what? They're going to trade up with the Packers, who lost that third round pick, and they're going to move back, and the Chiefs are going to trade up and take Isaiah Oliver at the 45th pick.
Really? I like that. So what are they going to give up? They're going to give up 86. They probably would need to get a kicker back if they're a late round. Well, you've got,
they got like five fifths.
How many picks?
They have like 11 picks left.
The Packers still have 11 picks on the board. Yeah. So the Packers actually might be a decent trade candidate
because they're gonna want, I don't know if they'd move back again though, that's the thing. I think they'd probably want to move back up into the third round using some of the capital behind that. I haven't looked at this, so I don't really know. I'm just throwing that out there, but trying to look at like a dance partner for the Chiefs.
I mean
the Colts could potentially be one too with the fourth and fifth pick in the second round.
Mm-hmm. I don't anticipate the Chiefs using any of their 2019 draft assets to move up either though. I think what they're gonna do is they're gonna try to move up with one of their third round picks. Or, you know, maybe it is something like, you know, the Packers and the Chiefs, they could, I'm looking at the trade chart right now. It's not super accurate, but I mean, the Chiefs could trade pick 54 to the Packers for pick 40, or pick 54 and then 122 and 124 to the Packers for pick 45. And that about add up.
Yeah.
Maybe throw them a sixth or a seventh round pick back. But I mean, that's a reasonable scenario. So you're saying the Chiefs are taking Isaiah Oliver at 45.
I don't think he'll be there that late though either. I don't know. Who knows? I think they'll need to trade up higher to get him. Okay. So I'm actually looking at the Colts. Colts maybe want to trade back. They have a ton of picks in the top 100.
Okay. So pick 37 or 36?
37 or 36. Yep.
Okay. I've been telling some people, I talked on the radio this week with a couple people and said Isaiah Oliver in the 30s would be the Chiefs pick, and I'm staying there too. But, you know, the guys like Connor Williams and Harold Landry and Will Hernandez, keep your eye on them because they're all significant talent there. Beyond those guys, I don't think they're going to move up too high. I think it's either kind of one of these fringe first round talents, or they just stay and make the pick at 54.
Another guy that I would throw out there too is Justin Reed.
Yeah.
The safety from Stanford. Cause I like Jesse Bates more than him. But I just get the vibe that Reed's going to go in front of him, and he can be kind of that slot guy. He can kind of be that free safety guy that they're looking for. So he's another name I'd keep tabs on.
Yeah, I think that makes sense too. I think Justin Reed's a guy I would trade up a little bit for, like I mentioned earlier. But that's probably it. I mean, the Dallas Goddards and the Jesse Bates, I might move up a little bit more for. But other than that, I think they should just let value fall to them and see where they go from there. Jake, do you have anything else to say before we close this thing up?
No, not really. I mean, I'm just looking forward to day two tomorrow. Day one, it's a grind today because you go through the whole day, and you guys know too that listening, like you just hear so much and you don't know what to take in and what to filter out, and then it starts happening, and then it's just,
you're just anxious the whole day.
It's wild. So I'm exhausted right now. And what time is it? We're recording it. It's 11:15 right now. It's really not that late, but I am wiped.
I'm still probably gonna be up late tonight.
So
I'll probably, I mean, this is draft tradition. You stay up late and you put up scenarios in your head and you think through things and you listen to rumors the entire time. And
if you have a pick, you go watch whatever film you haven't watched on them and read whatever you can read about them. And and then daydream about what number they're going to wear next year and contemplate whether or not you want to buy a jersey.
Well, and if Anthony Miller's getting on the board here today by the Chiefs.
Pick 45. The height thresholds are no more in Green Bay, and it just gives me hope for Anthony Miller. So it's going to happen.
Guys, you're going to hear from us sometime today when the Chiefs make their first selection. We will be doing a Facebook Live on the Arrowhead Pride page. So as soon as the Chiefs make a selection, you'll hear from us on Facebook Live. And then we're going to have an Insta reaction to everything that happened on day two of the NFL draft on Arrowhead Pride.com. We'll have another podcast up and ready for you. Do want to give a quick shout out to my guy, Craig Stout, who dropped off some of his beers from Pixelated Brewing Company. Let us have a few to sample today, and they were delicious. So shout out to my guy, Craig. Jake, you got anything else to say?
Yeah, I don't even like IPAs, and I enjoyed the citrus blend that we had today. What was that thing called?
It was a citrus IPA.
It was well done, sir.
It was delicious. So, guys, thanks for listening, and we will see you, or we'll talk to you tomorrow. Very merry draft miss to all of you. Good first day for the Chiefs, and let's hope things turn out well for them tomorrow.